thinking.
Okay, of course you're gonna do that. Hello, good evening.
What's up, world?
Who am I? I'm Sky. I'm from the Southwest Atlanta, where the players dwell. Shout out to Andre 3000 with the flutes. Living well. And I'm currently blessed and fresh in the Wild Wild West. And I'm with who?
What's up, world? It's your girl, Sylves. VA all day, two up, two down. Chilling in Los Angeles with a week off because the school system's shut down because the kids get a week now. I didn't get a week when I was in school. I feel a way about it.
What the hell? But I'm here. Off work? The hell? I still got to work. But anyway, that's beyond the point. That's beyond the point. Who are we? We are Shea Butter FC. We're a podcast featuring two Black women's perspectives on soccer, football, and everything in between.
Delivering content with soul and seasoning that'll moisturize your skin.
And lay your edges.
Deepen your love for all things Black women.
And today, we have special guests.
We do.
The tall ones.
The tallest pod. Is joining us because there's been a lot happening with the U.S. national team, and we wanted to talk about it, and we couldn't contain it in one episode.
Right.
So this is actually part two.
Two.
Of the crossover, where we talk about the roster. With our guests, Courtney and Taldre.
Hello, Taldre 3000.
Oh yeah,
I've been sitting on that. I was sitting on that.
Make sure you put that in the chat.
At all.
Taldre 3000.
I'm about you right now.
I guess.
Amazing. How are you doing today, all tall ones? Is it?
I was doing much better before that intro. I'll just be honest. It's fine. I'm fine. I'm doing good. I'm glad to be here.
Say it like you mean it.
How are you, oh Courtney? Statue of Liberty?
Tired. Wow. I forgot that you came up with a nickname for me.
Oh, you thought she was getting wet.
I completely forgot that you said Statue of Liberty. But also, didn't someone Photoshop Nubia?
Y'all still taller than Nubia?
I've always been taller than Nubia.
Nubia's like a keychain. We had this discussion already. It's like short size.
A keychain? Wow.
Fun size. That's a joke. Me, Georgia, Ross, and Nubia. Oh, anyway.
You're gonna hate the name of the chat.
Yeah. What are we gonna do? In this episode, we're going to talk about the first ever roster drop in the Emma Hayes era. And Sister Emma, she needs to get a nickname. In Sister Emma's era, we're going to talk about some surprises, some omissions, and we're going to look line by line to see what is the path forward, preview those China games, and then potential tactical changes. Then we're also going to do some hits and riffs in a special edition. And I guess some rants and raves since we didn't do it on the episode because we talked about Emma for 15 billion hours. So, who has the roster?
I do. Okay. Would you like for me to read it?
Yes, please.
Sure. Yes, your voice is all so right. Soothing.
All tall one.
Kilgore named a 26-player roster.
26? For this training in this plan. Economy? Sorry.
Wait a minute, 26. More than 23? Oh! Lord, continue.
Starting with goalkeepers, you have Jane Campbell, NWSL Goalkeeper of the Year from the Houston Dash, Aubrey Kingsbury, and Casey Murphy. Defenders, you have Alana Cook, Abby Dahlkemper, Tierna Davidson, Emily Fox, Naomi Gurma, Casey Kruger, and M.A. Vignola. Mm-hmm. And your midfielders are Corbin Albert, Sam Coffey, Savannah DeMello, Lindsay Horan, Roosevelt, Olivia Moultrie, Jenna Nyswanger, and Emily Sonnet. And then for forwards, you have Mia Fischel, Ashley Hatch, Midge Purse, Trinity Rodman, Jaden Shaw, Sophia Smith, and Alyssa Thompson, and Lynn Williams.
Wow. That forward line's kind of black with Hatch.
I'm just thinking of a tweet. I'm sorry. That tweet is so good.
Shout out to the tallest pod pointing out again.
And to everybody being blatant, like, BYU doesn't have Greeks. It's a joke. That's not the point. I need y'all to laugh. It's very funny. It's a very funny photo.
If you don't understand that tweet wasn't for you.
We're not explaining it. There you go. That's it.
There we go.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sorry. We won't be explaining.
I want to add in Golden Boot winner Sophia Smith and championship MVP Mitch Purse. I was like, there are two names that I'm missing in this.
Yes.
So how are we feeling?
Who's going first? I think guess first. Andre, how are you feeling?
Tall Dre 3000.
Yes.
Jesus. I'm happy. I like it. You can definitely see there's some Emma influence. Like I said, I think I tweeted, like, this is a December roster. This is what you want to see. You know, you want to see a lot of players getting back in to the setup, but you also want to see young players getting in. You know, I'm specifically looking at midfielders, Nyswanger and Corbin Albert. Actually very interested in Nyswanger because she played as a left back for Gotham. So I love that she's included as a midfielder. It's kind of cool. I wish, you know, we'll talk about it maybe later when Crystal Dunn's back where she plays. Hopefully she's right back in midfield where she should be anyway. But yeah, I really do like this roster. I think there is probably a couple names I still like to see, but, you know, overall, I'll leave that discussion for later. Overall, I was really happy to see this squad because I think it's got a lot of very exciting names. And especially when you look at like the sauce that this squad could be capable of, I want to see it.
Courtney.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. Obviously, when I saw it, I was surprised at some omissions of that we were that we are not used to seeing, like a Crystal Dunn not getting called up to the roster, a Becky Sauerbrunn not getting called up to the roster, an Alex Morgan not getting called up to a roster. But I think this camp is really kind of maybe to replace a January camp, maybe something that Emma can't really do, and something to be fair that we're used to with the. In the NWSL, but yeah, there are definitely some names that I wanted to see, like, especially for, I think really the majority of this roster is headlined by young players, or not even young players, like inexperienced players. Like they said, only 6 out of that 26 have 50 or more caps, and 11 out of the 26 are in single digit cap numbers. And so when we were looking at like young players, I also wish Emma had, technically Emma did not call in this roster. It was in collaboration. But I wish that we did see a player who's, I think has been great in the league for the past 2 seasons, and Brianna Pinto. I think she definitely deserved a call up. But overall, I mean, it's exciting. Like that, I don't know, weirdly enough, like, I mean, I expect some of the players that have been left off that we're expecting to see. I do expect them to come back at least for a camp or two. But I will also say, like, all of the players that have been called up are in fantastic form. It's never been like I haven't seen it, or it's been like, oh, this player like doesn't deserve a call up because they haven't been in good form. Like, I very much feel like all the players called in have been in fantastic form, and that's what earned them the right to get called up to this national team, which I feel like for probably the first, maybe not the first time ever, but maybe the first time in a very long time, we've seen it where you're how you played in club your last, you know, 2 to 3 months affected if you were actually going to be called up or not.
Yeah.
Word. Sills, what are our thoughts?
I agree. I think it's a bit of a break from what we normally do. I think just calling in 26 is pretty impressive. We normally don't. Mm-hmm. And definitely getting some new faces. Like, I think a few of us have been beating the, can we at least take a look at Corbin Albert and see, like, she's consistently starting in France. For PSG, starting in Champions League games, like, she's in that midfield with Jackie Gronin, who I very much rate. And she has audacity. Like, she takes shots from distance. Like, we don't have a lot of those. And so, yeah, I'm really glad she got called up. Obviously, I think we're rewarding Nyswanger, rightfully, for her performance this year as a mid, which means I think maybe there's more of a focus on where you think a player is best versus where they play for their club, right? It's the opposite problem of Crystal Dunn, right? She plays out of position for club, not country. And so at least she gets that day-to-day coaching. When she's playing out of position versus doing it in the opposite direction, which I don't really like. I mean, there's always a few people I'd like to see. Like, I kind of wish Messiah Bright had gotten a look. I'd like to see what she looks like with this group of players. And I think that there is a very real competition for sort of that backup number nine, because one, I'm not 100% sure Morgan goes, right? I don't know if that's Morgan's spot or Fischl's at this point. Particularly with Emma coming in, right? Like, she has a familiarity with Fischl already and will have much more of one by the time she takes over the job full time and in person. I mean, I'm going to bang the drum for Gordon. I think she should at least get a look. I'd like to see what it looks like on that back line. But she also called in Kruger and Mignola, who I think had phenomenal seasons and I think are two of the very best that we have in the outside back position right now, and sort of trying to get a look and see who can permanently play that spot, with the assumption, this would be my guess, that Crystal Dunn will not play there when she is called back in. And I don't doubt that she'll be called back in. For the people who don't know, in terms of U.S. players, Crystal Dunn has played for Emma Hayes the longest, right? She played for a season, maybe a little more, with Emma Hayes. And so that's somebody whose game she knows. She is Crystal Dunn in large part. Well, certainly in some part because of Emma Hayes and playing at Chelsea and playing everywhere. Becoming that sort of utility player all around, good player, good on every line. She became that at Chelsea in a lot of ways. I'm super interested to see what she does with this very young and inexperienced squad. I'm interested to see from afar, or maybe if she's able to stop by the States, I don't know, who sort of become the players that she latches onto. Because in my mind, I have an idea just based on what I've seen her do over the past decade. I'm very interested to see who she takes a look at. Excuse me. And then who she's going to call going forward, because I think there's some other talent that she probably would like to take a look at. And for whatever reason, just wasn't able to call them in. And there's still people out injured like Mal and Kat. I'm excited. I do think it was a collaboration. I do think Kilgore feels empowered to make certain decisions while Emma's not here. Obviously, they're in constant communication. And I'm really interested to see a continuation of that second half, right? We had three really bad halves of football and one really good one. And so I'm really interested to see what that continuation is against a bit of a different team in China. So who's also rebuilding and trying to get back to past glory. So, yeah, I'm excited. That's what December camp is for. They're friendlies. They don't really count. Let's see what we got.
All right. So let's see. In defenders, I see Abby and Tierner back. Healthy to look at him. I know you had limits on defenders, but I would have liked to see Sarah Gordon and actually Caprice Dadasco and Carson Pickett actually playing with a functioning midfield. Brian Pinto was a good shout. I'm trying to think. I would have liked to see Yasmin Ryan, actually. Thought her in the mix of this at some point. And from a perspective. Hold on. We're gonna come back.
I'm joking.
Line by line though. Looking at forwards, I was actually shocked that we recognized Mitch's greatness and brought her back. But then also, you know, bringing in all these other players, I would have liked to see Messiah. I would have liked to see Messiah get in there. That's why actually I'm sad she didn't win Rookie of the Year, because then she would have been brought in. And we really would have been talking. Any omissions? I mean, people still aren't healthy. Some people were not in good form, so they need to be up in here. And then this is a December camp. And just keeping it a buck, if your ass is in this camp and you've been playing a lot of minutes, you should be looking at them Indeed applications, CDLs, a little bit. Get up to date. Get that resume up to date, maybe a little bit. Because, yeah, you're going to be competing. It's a friendly. That's a good point, that there is a Gold Cup coming up. So you really don't have a January camp. And in tandem, the NWSL season is starting earlier because it's extra games and a whole Olympic break they're taking a break for. So, yeah, y'all got to get your shit together. So it's going to be interesting to see who else they might reach out to. I guess we can then go into what's the other topic we were going to discuss.
So, wait, Can I get my omissions as well?
Yeah. Because you understood the assignment and then everybody went a different way. Go ahead. Do your omissions. Yeah.
All good. I want to underscore the Sarah Gordon thing because I think that's got to change. She is so good. There is not a single center back out there with her profile.
Right.
There are ball carrying center backs, but they don't have her speed. There are center backs with speed, but they can't carry the ball. There's nobody that does what she does. You cannot get behind her. That's kind of valuable. So, right. Like, I want to see her in the national team set up. She's really, really a unique player. And I think it's important to spotlight that. And she's been playing well. You know, she had a really good season this past season. So I'd like to see that. I'd also like to see Jalen Howe. I know we tried early, but we really didn't have the right setup for that. But if we're trying to have Emily Sonnet be just a straight up ball winning midfielder, we got one of those that's younger and better. And Jalen Howe, I believe, can be exactly that.
Give it to me, please.
Jalen Howe is here to fight and then maybe play soccer. And I want her on my team.
I need it.
Midfield murder machine is what I call her because that's what she does.
We need one of those, dude. Like, we haven't had, man. She's Earths, but mean? Like, I don't quite know how to...
Yes.
Yeah.
If you watch Knock Players Over, she doesn't care.
She doesn't care.
And yeah, because y'all going to try... Because some teams are going to try to set up a little block. They're going to try to body, and they're going to run into her and be on the floor, and she's going to be like, get up.
Yeah.
Do it again.
Yeah. She's there to fight all 90, so get ready. And so I want to see that. I think... And I know Emma can use that. You know? She uses... Yeah. Aaron Cuthbert in a very similar, like, Aaron Cuthbert can do more on the ball, but it's really her ability to harass in the middle of the park. Well, I mean, listen, Jalen Howe doesn't have the attacking prowess that Aaron Cuthbert has, but that's what you got all these other players for.
Exactly.
Right. They can do that.
They don't need all that.
Right.
All right.
Yeah, I'm excited.
So wait, what are we doing next? What are you looking for nine by nine? Line by line.
I know what you meant. We're good.
Are we starting with goalkeepers? Yes, let's go.
Sure.
What kind of goalkeeper is Emma Hayes looking for?
That's the one place I can't help you because I've seen the goalkeepers we've signed and I don't.
Okay, so we just hoping and praying and praying and hoping?
We got about 100 of them and who knows Lucevic who's going to start this what weekend. Game.
She made some good saves too. I still Burger don't know where Sweden Musevic is, but that's fine.
So we'll foul
where
get a
is,
shout.
Where is Sweden Musevic? I want to know. Where's she at?
I mean, Sweden versus U.S. Musevic, because even in the – remember when she – what was that goal she let in?
Spain.
The ball was on the ground, and somehow it popped up over her. I was like
– Spain. Come on, it was against Spain.
Yeah.
Damn. Okay, so my question is – okay, so I was going to say Fallon. You gonna get Fallon some love? No, maybe.
I think eventually Lund will get a look. Yes,
needs to.
The goalkeeper pool is very deep, and that's always the trickiest one, right? Because you can only call in three at a time. But
Brianna Stewart shouldn't be a goalkeeper if she did play. Go ahead. Sorry.
I think Lund will get a look at some point. I hope so. I think Fallon has to start at some point in the near future for United for that to be true. I think she almost would have been better off staying through the end of the year, honestly. She would have played more.
I agree.
But we're there. We're here now. I'm very interested to see what she looks like this year. I think Anderson could be very good.
That part, I was going to say that. But I
think Anderson, I saw that in person. I was like, damn it, they got one. I was like, damn it, Anderson, they got one. She could be good. So I'm not necessarily worried about our goalkeeper depth. Like, Alyssa in international competition is still in the Alyssa fucking air. Like, we got True. It, and we got talent coming. But I think I'd almost be tempted to say switch it out. I know you want some continuity at the back, particularly with that back line looking different. But, I think Campbell earned it. Like, I think she was the best goalkeeper this year in the league. And she's been in the system, before, in a major tournament before, though I don't believe she played. I think it's worth looking at just to see what the pool looks like and who we can rotate in. But I think we have about four or five goalkeepers that we know for this cycle, at least, are going to be who we call upon. And I think that they're all capable. So, I think right now in this camp, it'll probably be Kingsbury that gets one of the starts and maybe they take a look at Campbell. I don't know. Well, I know Murphy's gotten a lot of starts. Well, yeah, Murphy's gotten more of the start, so you know, maybe it's Murphy. But I don't know. Like, I don't.
All right.
I don't know.
I think my main thing with the goalkeeper pool that we have, though, is even though it's deep, I am kind of questioning where that young goalkeeper who's like up and coming is, because Aubrey Kingsbury is 32. Casey Murphy is 27. Jane Campbell is 28. Katie Lund is 26. And Fallon is 27. Around that same age.
I think so. Anderson is probably that.
Yeah, young she's 23.
One that I'm looking at, where I'm 21? Like, oh, that one's different.
Yeah,
Fallon's not that young.
Yeah,
and we do that in the U.S. We tend to get our goalkeepers older. Like, they tend to break through older because we don't rotate.
Because we don't be rotating goalkeepers. And you should let me tell you, you should rotate goalkeepers. Because what you never want to happen is when old girl who shall not be named tore her two labrums in that World Cup, and then they went to extra time, they end up losing to freaking Japan.
Yeah,
like. It didn't have to be that way if you would have been comfortable in your goalkeeper situation. Rotate goalkeepers, whatever. All right, so let's go to the back line.
Hey.
Wait, sorry. Okay. I have a follow-up about the goalkeeper. I'm sorry. Just one. Do we think who's called in has the best feet? Because we know that Emma loves for your goalkeeper to play with your feet a lot. And, like, even, like, I mean, I think about the AKB goal against...
Is it
Under who's against? Where, like, she... I think it was against Manchester City... Where she got the entire team to stretch and then just lobbed the ball over the top to Sam Kerr.
Yep, that was against City a couple seasons ago.
Good feet, and also distribution wise, I don't love any of our goalkeepers either. That's part of why I like Anderson. I'm like, that distribution. She hit that goal for a game winner. Like, she hit that pass for a game winner.
Yeah.
Like, that Sheridan, like, distribution. I think Sheridan has some moments, but like that Sheridan.
I was like that can be a very hit or miss distribution.
Gift and a curse. Anderson's distribution. Because, other than that, it's Alyssa Nair. Alyssa Nair has good distribution, but she's older. So, would it be? Because everybody forgets when Alyssa was diamond balls to Kristen Press in the 90th minute in them Chicago Red Star games. Y'all ain't remember them days.
Fuck it. That was the fuck
it. Woo! That's the fuck it and let it score. Please get you on some Tumblr and go look at some clips.
I don't know, Courtney. Like, I'm.
What's Fallon's distribution, Kent?
I don't know. She can work on it.
Okay. Oh, damn.
Honestly, I think they all can.
We don't actually have distributor. Yeah.
But it's also like a newer thing for goalkeepers. Like, I know with you, it's your 90th minute. You put everyone in the box, kick the ball up the field.
Right.
But like, we're now seeing across the board. Having your goalkeepers play with their feet more and more and more, and like, honestly, for this generation, they like haven't really had to experience that. Like, even an Alyssa Nair, which Sky, I know, just said that she was diving balls up, but like, I don't think Nair is also still not super comfortable with her feet,
right?
At all times,
it's a newer, like, it's definitely a newer generation.
Not under pressure, that's the problem.
Yeah, not under
pressure. Like, tough.
Well, yeah, if your whole backline's falling at your feet because you don't got no midfield, but
that's just not how goalkeepers of a certain age were taught to play. Like, it's not even about ability. Like, they literally weren't taught. Like, they didn't have to use their feet in the way that the younger goalkeepers are using their feet now.
Goalkeepers I'm staring at that are in camp, unless Jane used to stress me out doing stuff at her feet. I don't know. What about Kingsbury?
Kingsbury's okay, but again, it's under pressure is the problem. She can panic a little bit under pressure and kind of kick the ball. She's gotten better at just kicking the ball out of play if she has to, so she doesn't commit that like really egregious error, but she's still not like consistently pinging balls like 40, 50 yards right to like a fullback's feet. So
Murphy,
like,
definitely makes me nervous.
I have a person.
Oh, Lord.
Name. I'm just saying, she got better.
I know
she used to stress the living life out of me in the entire game. But like, I will say, Amandi Hott has gotten significantly better playing out of the back, needing to ping a ball. Yeah, sometimes she will be at the equivalent of the 40-yard line, and I'll be like midfielding Mandy Hott. But like, that is a player, at least I've seen, who is like, I mean, to be fair, she had to come in and like, Abby Smith had to do it too, right?
Well, Abby Smith was up there jumping to the 40-yard line too.
Well, yeah, I mean,
I mean, she's built like a truck, though, so I get it. Seeing her in person, I mean, I see why.
It's how Juan wanted them to play, but I will say, like, that was also at times a big part of Gotham is being able to play back to your goalkeeper to recycle or do all that stuff. And I mean, I feel like you probably make the same argument for Casey Murphy, but maybe we've seen Casey Murphy get burned maybe a few more times after that. But like, I'm not saying Mandy Hott should want, like, I mean, well, I can see the argument for her, but what I'm saying is like that it's a goalkeeper who we've seen like actually have to play with her feet day in and day out, whether it burns Gotham or doesn't.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I just don't think it is something that most American goalkeepers are good at doing. Like, I'm just going to be very, I don't think we teach it. And so I think there are some that can work on it and get better at it. I don't know how good that'll end up being. And so we work with that. I think we'll still play out of the back, whoever's just the most sure. But I think in terms of, our goalkeeping pool's not very young. I think probably outside the younger ones, it probably is Anderson. I think maybe if you can get handcuffed. Yeah, if you can get handcuffed somewhere and playing like consistently regularly, where she can be seen, I think maybe that's the other one I can think of. I haven't seen any others coming out of college or whatever. Yeah, I don't, I'm not really sure what's up with that, right?
Well, no, I'm saying I think handcuff was really good for Western United or wherever she played in Australia.
Yeah, so I think she has potential too. But I think maybe those two are the ones that I can think of in terms of like young goalkeepers where I'm like, huh, that one has different energy. And there might be a few sitting in college too. So we'll see. Yeah, we should probably move on to defense now.
Okay, yes. I was going to say that. Okay. All right. What are we looking for defense?
That's not really our problem, yeah.
Okay, fine. Okay,
it's never really been our problem.
So what should we be expecting based on Emma Styles in terms of what we will be seeing on defense?
I don't think she does it this camp because she's not there, but we're definitely going to see a three at the back at some point. It's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
It's happening.
Honestly, Alana, Tierna, Naomi called in.
Once again, asking for Sarah for three at the back. Yeah. Sorry.
All right, so.
But not there, but who we have. Naomi, I think, is definitely, I think she's also looking for leaders, right? I think that this is when she starts to evaluate who the players are as people and who she can sort of lean on. I think two of them are at the back. I think that's very much going to be what Alana and Naomi are for. Those are her kind of people. Here's a guess for the future. I think she will do more for Alana Cook than she will for Naomi Garma.
Ooh. Yes.
I think Alana Cook will become more under Emma.
Yes, I can see that.
Even though she's Millie Bright. She's the Millie Bright in that situation.
Ooh. I'm trying to think of who's in and around the goalkeeping or the center back pool. I do think though that we are going to see at like obviously at three at the back, but even thinking about how at times when you see three at the back at Chelsea, or even Chelsea center backs in general, like thinking at times, obviously Millie, obviously like a Khadisha Buchanan, but even sorry, I had a really bad burp. But I think we are going to see also just in general more ball playing center backs. Like Emma loves a player who obviously can step in and get touch tight to a player if need. But thinking about, and I mean, this talking about like a Sarah Gordon, right? Of like sometimes, like Khadisha Buchanan loves sometimes to just go for a little run around the world.
Stroll. Yeah, a little stroll.
Like going for a little stroll if she can. But also Millie too. Would I'd be remiss to say one time we're just going to see a center back go up top for 5 minutes and come back. I personally want to see that because I that just
Alana Cook was out here playing the nine in preseason. I'm just saying.
But yeah, that's what I'm but yeah, I think going forward, especially when it comes to center backs, we are going to see players who are really like ball, like I think across the board. I mean, obviously not even just thinking about what Matt Crocker said, but like especially seeing Emma's favored choice of a center back, obviously one that is like tall and can kind of body you at times, but also those ball playing center backs as well.
Mm-hmm. Is there Which a center also back? Lead,
no. Well, I wouldn't say she 100% fits his profile, but also thinking like, I know San Diego, well, it didn't end up working out for them because they lost the game, but so many times for Abby Dahlkemper when she was healthy was pinging them balls left and right on the field. But also thinking about another player who had, I think, had a pretty good season. I don't know if she was defender of the year for me, but like also Sam Staub.
Yeah.
Ball playing center back.
Yeah. I think her defense in Emma's system would be a very interesting conversation, but she also doesn't have to be like stalwart defender to work in that system. And I think she has a specialty and attribute that most center backs in this country don't have. And I think she reads the game very well, which Emma would love. Like she wants an she likes intelligent players. I think there's two, right? So I think maybe not two. I'm very interested to see what she does with Tierna, because I think there are attributes that Tierna has that fit that. And I think Tierna's confidence has been shit on a little bit this year. I think that's one of those like unspoken casualties of the Black era. Like, I think Tierna's confidence since the Olympics, with that penalty being on her, has kind of gone down. And so I think she has a lot of talent. I think the Stanford defenders are probably going to be some of Emma's favorite human beings ever. I think she just, that the way they defend very much falls in line with the way she sees football. It's like linebacker you at Penn State. It's defender you at Stanford. But I'm super interested to see what she does with Tierna, because I think that's somebody with the right coach that can get it back and can also play outside back. Or can even play midfield, potentially a six. I also think she'll do something very nutty, like push Naomi up at some point into the six just to see what.
Give it to me, please. Let's go. Give it to me.
I think she's deranged enough to do it. I think you're right. I think the ball carrying trend is going to be interesting, and I think she'll start to call in players based on that. But I think she wants to see what she has. What she has on that back line and leadership. I think you'll either get Abby and Naomi or Naomi and Alana in some kind of pairing to start. And I think it's basically who's going to play with Naomi. I think that might be the only person who has the guaranteed spot on that team.
She's in them Team USA promos.
Right. She on the compass for sports. A reason. That's the one they're sure about. I think it's secure. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
Fullback.
I mean, she called in Kruger and Vignola. She's all right with me.
All right, so other fullbacks that ain't there who could potentially go or around the world, whatever.
I mean, I think you mentioned Caprice Tedesco. I think that's a good shout.
Yeah.
She's someone who hasn't been, who probably deserved a call up and hasn't.
I think Pickett, Cassandra. Yeah.
Kiki Pickett.
Either Pickett. Yeah.
Carson Pickett. Either.
I think those are the two big ones. I mean, Emily Fox did get called in to a camp as well, and she's usually our other outside back. I mean, she called in Kruger. I think still probably our best outside back, pound for pound.
What about Huerta?
So that's interesting. She didn't call her in. I feel like Huerta's a player that would deeply frustrate her, but she also crosses better than almost anybody on the team. I don't know. She'll look at her again. I'm not sure. Because again, that's not her natural position, even though she plays it for club and country.
Right.
I think she'd do something dastardly, like make her a wing back. But
that's me. I can see that though. But I mean, because I'm not that fast.
Yeah.
But I don't think people remember. So frustrating to watch her get converted to a fullback because we had terrible coaching. Is everybody forgets when she was balling for the Chicago Red Stars at a fucking forward. Like, we were sitting through droughts of scoring, and you literally had Harden and Kristen in the same pool scoring ungodly amount of goals. Because before Sam Kerr was in the system for Chicago Red Stars, that shit was built in the Kristen Press era. And so she came in, and it would have been nice to see them play together. But anyway, you forget when they were playing together.
But Huerta's not on the national team. Like, Laura Harvey did that. And she did it because she couldn't not have her on the pitch. So, like, I do think that's one where U.S. soccer was like, okay, Laura's got it, so let's just run with whatever's been established. Like, that was done at the club level, which is why I wasn't as like, I can't believe you're doing this, because at least it was something where she could be, again, nurtured every day, get feedback every day, that kind of thing. It's a day in and day out thing versus just when she was originally on the national team, she just got converted to outside back. Chrissy Mewis just got converted to outside back. Taylor Smith just got converted to outside back. Nobody did anything. They were cut and it was never talked about again. Like, I think this is the healthier way to do it, but I also think that's a really steep competition for that position right now. And yes, she's going to have to battle. Like, welcome to the show. We got a battle. And she's my player, and I love Sophia Orta dearly. And again, she has a unique skill set. She's going to have to battle for it. I think Emily Fox is going to have to battle for it. I know she loves a good leisurely run herself.
Yeah.
Good leisurely run herself. But, like, she's going to have to battle for that spot. Casey Kruger can take that spot from you. Real easy. Like, that's not a given anymore. And so I'm interested to see who kind of folds under this. You mean I got to fight for it now?
Yeah, she's really interested character to see
who steps up and who folds.
All right. Yeah, you know who I think?
Go ahead, Andre.
Yes.
No. Yeah, I think really if you, and again, I don't expect a carbon copy from like Chelsea to the U.S. team, but Emma does have tendencies and tactical flexibilities that she likes in her team, and has been pretty consistent over her years. And one of the things that's been consistent is she likes her fullbacks to be able to kind of do both, but kind of swing. So sometimes one goes really high and the other one stays back. So you almost have a back three and then they will switch the other one on the right or the left or whatever one did, and then they'll go high and then the other one drops back and does a back three. So you're going to have to do both. And that's why I think Kruger and Vignola are like the two that are like set for that, because Kruger can defend 1v1. She can stay back. She can handle that defensive duty, or she can be the one that goes forward. I think Vignola is the same way. She's very difficult to beat 1v1. And also she had a great decision-making when she's up higher up the pitch. And so that's not quite the same as Emily Fox, and same thing with Sophia Huerta. I don't know if you can rely on them in the same way. So it is going to be interesting to see like where the fullback position goes overall, because to me, I'm looking at it and I'm like, if I needed to pluck like fullbacks out of Chelsea, who would I place to put in their place? I'm probably going Kruger and Vignola, because those are the two that can do the things that are being done right now with Chelsea's fullback. So, you know, again, not carbon copy, but it's something to keep an eye on, I think.
All right, let's get into this midfield. Oh, shit. Well, go.
Oh, I was just going to say, I hope, and I mean, I say this like, I hope we also see if maybe at one point, maybe if Imani Dorsey wants to continue playing soccer, the eventual return of Imani Dorsey, like, also talking about a play, like Andre, just what you're saying, a player who can go forward at times, but also stay back and hold down a back line. Imani Dorsey was great at that when she was playing for Gotham. Obviously, she's a free agent. Now we don't know where she's going to go, if she's going to sign or go somewhere else, or maybe not even play soccer anymore. But like, that is also a player who fits that profile, who technically got one cap, like got a call up to the national team. But I also think she's 100% a player that also fits that profile that Andre just brought up.
Work. All right. Midfield. It's time to talk about it.
Do we have to?
Yes, we're going to talk about it. What are we going to do? I don't know. We have visions of possession in this camp. I'm looking at that roster, I guess. So, what are we doing?
Get a bottle of Rose Lavelle is what that sounds like.
Yeah, I don't know.
All I ask is that she doesn't try to make Lindsay Horan a six. That's all I ask.
Okay, that, Chelsea fans.
Or a 10, to be honest.
Well, yeah, that too.
Put her at the 9, objectively. But what I'm saying is,
Paul Sun?
Like, obviously, I would like to see Crystal Dunn, the midfielder, on this national team. I think that is something that, at this point, we're all asking for. However, when it comes to other midfielding things, like, let Lindsay Horan be an 8. Like, stop with this double pivot 6. Like, I know it's worked at times for Lyon, but...
Please don't do it.
But Lindsay also had to defend as a 6, and I'm going to say maybe 3 important games in the entire year. Maybe not 3, but like, let's say like 5. Like, I want us to shift away from that and have like either 2 proper 6s play or 2 6 8s play in a double pivot. Like, I want us to move away from Lindsey Horan the six.
I want us to free ourselves from the double pivot.
I'm fine with that.
And
too,
I know we can't. Like, and I know Lindsey Horan. Can't. We don't have the six to do it yet. But I do. Like, I understand. I think we need to know how to play in it. I think it's very important. I think a lot of the better nations do it. But I think part of Emma's adaptability is being able to play with a singular six. I don't think we'll do that until we find our six. Sis. I don't think that six is on the squad right now.
You need sixes.
Yeah, sixes. Like, you need a backup too. But, like, I don't think anybody who fits that bill truly is on the squad. I think you have players who can do a job. Like, I would like to see Sam Coffey in this system. But I still see her more as a passer, right? And she's not a natural six. There really isn't a natural six in this midfield. Okay. Like, I'm trying to think, but there really isn't.
So who would you call in who is a natural six?
Jalen Howe.
Wait, what does Giselle play?
Six? She's also a six. They seem to not want to call in people under 18, though.
Corbin Albert plays a six.
Yeah, she plays a six, but she usually plays double, right, with Jackie. I think she can do it. Like, I'd also like to see that. I'd have her in either the six or eight role, but I feel like they're going to stick her in a double pivot because she usually plays.
Yeah, you don't feel joy with Emily Sonnet as your six.
I mean, listen, okay.
That's a lot of directing traffic. That's what I'll say.
She is playing the best soccer I have seen her play in a long time.
Yeah.
Every time I think Laura Harvey can't fix something, she fixes it. I gotta stop. She almost got the job off the strength of that. Having said that, I think that energy only works against certain opponents.
This is true.
When we have to break down a low block, when we have to hold the ball, if we want to be a possession-based team, yes, we do some of that at OL, but not quite in the style that Emma does. And I think at some point, the other side of that comes good. Like, we saw this at Portland a lot. It's great when it works. When it doesn't, it's a fight with Amy Rodriguez. Like, it is all or nothing. And I think she's better. I think she's matured some. But that's also not her natural position. Yeah, she's not a six. She's not even a mid. Like, her best position is center back, and the truth of the matter is, for club and country, no one plays her there anymore because there are better center backs there. And so I think for all of the locker room stuff, and it'll be interesting, right, because I think there will be a couple of people who play because they are culture people. They will also be talented. Emma doesn't waste spots. But there is something to be said for having culture people. I'm very interested to see what Sonnet's role is post-Olympics. Like, because she has talent, but there's so much talent coming behind her. I don't know what the line is. But I think she'll stick through the rest of the cycle just because she's in now. And we're waiting for these kids to come good, basically, seems to be what's happening. But just in terms of listening to the presser today and everything else and about this lineup, I think the midfield is the place that still gives me pause. Obviously, Rose Lavelle being back helps. It always helps. She is our most creative player, certainly in the midfield. I feel like it's going to be a lot of get the ball to Rose and let's see what happens. We have people who have the ability to be distributors. The best American midfielder I saw this week, though, plays for Ajax. Like, that line, that pass she made to break that line to get that first goal for Ajax.
Be honest. Yeah.
Like, I haven't seen our midfield do that in 2 years.
And the cool thing about that was I saw her. She's hit that pass twice in the past, like, month or so. First time was in the air. This one was on the ground. That's impressive.
At 16. Like, and I'm just like, my question to you at soccer would be like, are we just not bringing in people before they turn 18? Is our system so messed up? Which would be very fair. The system is still toxic enough where you don't really trust that. In the system, I'm like, that's fair, but we also need to reevaluate that, because the talent we need might be 16 or 17 years old right now. Like, Giselle 17, she balled in the Goodwill games. The rest of that team struggled. She balled.
Yes.
And so like a lot of that dynamism. I'm sorry, tired. Sorry. That we need sort of that line breaking, passing, the ability to break down a block with the ball at your feet, the creativity to see something before it opens up, is going to be with our younger players, right? Like that midfield outside of Albert and Nyeswanger to an extent isn't young. And they just see the game differently, and we need people to see the game differently. And it just, it's the part of the pitch that doesn't match the vision yet to me. Like I hear us say these really pretty words about what we want this team to be, and that midfield and that vision don't line up. That's where I am on that.
Wait, I think it's also tough. Wait, sorry, just
go.
I think it's also tough of wanting to play with like a sing. Because the thing is, I could name to you like a bunch of young players in the NWSL who can play as a six and a double pivot. Like, I mean, I know you. Like you're a fan of Olo at Owl Rain, like a mm-hmm. a Neely Martin, I think, showed mm-hmm. me things I did not expect from her from Gotham. But even at times, like a Paige Mattire, I know, like she was left out of the rookie of the season conversations, but I thought at times she was really, really good for Washington Spirit. Like,
not yet.
It's
well, she ain't ready yet. I'm sorry.
No, but I'm just saying, like they're a player. I'm not saying put them in right now. Yeah. I'm just saying they're players that are on that trajectory. Yeah. That could be, but it's also like, I mean, kind of the way of modern football right now, right? Like everyone is playing in a double pivot or mm-hmm. like the majority of teams at times are playing in a double pivot, or at least at times having a player drop back for certain points of the game to give, you know, give your six help. And I mean, I see there are players in the league who can do that, but like, I also, if I'm being honest, like don't always see like, unless it's a huge shift in the NWSL or, you know, we do pull a player from, maybe like a player that we don't necessarily know about playing abroad. Because I think also right now, though, the U.S. like obviously they always have the win now thing, but I also don't think it'll be a thing of like we're going to try to wait for 3 or 4 years for someone to come in and take over that role.
Yeah. I think it was a great advantage for us, right? Like to have a singular six gave us a lot more freedom in that midfield, and we just don't have that player. Like the reality is we built that system around Julie Ertz in many ways, right? And so trying to replace that with two players instead of one hinders you. It takes away an attacking option, it takes away whatever option we were using that extra midfielder for that we didn't have to worry about it before. Julie Ertz goes down, holy shit, we don't have another one of those. So, you know, we have to pivot, no pun intended, on the fly and basically play in a double pivot. And it's just not our style. We haven't done it very well or very often. Even though people do it at the club level, it just seems to be something that's really hard for us to make work on the international level because we haven't played that way in a while. You have but a whole generation that's come through. Right, the pipeline and a whole generation that's played and watched 1-6 play. Like, it's not... It's going to take a minute to unlearn that or learn something different in addition to that, I guess. And we have players that are capable of doing it. But, yeah, I agree. Like, you can't necessarily wait 3 or 4 years for that to come good. I'm also not sure it's going to take 3 or 4 years for that to come good, though.
Yeah. Well, I just think with – sorry. I just think with Emma, like, what the beautiful thing about our scouting, right, is, like, if one player gets injured, you have another player coming up. And, I think we have that for double pivots. I'm just not sure – like what we named two players right now that could do it at some point. But like, I don't know. I think that is a, and you know, that's the whole point of bringing in a person like Emma, like a coach like Emma to, you know, redo the entire pipeline. But like for right now, thinking of like players and the reason why I'm also thinking like this is the six in the U.S. has been like a decades long issue at this point, right? Like, we think about a Shannon Box coming in, taking that position over, and then not having a successor for her in that position and forcing ourselves to convert a Julie Ertz, which obviously it worked. There was also a chance like it could have not have. And like I think that like a long-term thing of like, to me, that's almost Emma's number one thing of how are we going to start actually getting in like true sixes who at times, if they want, like we can put them in a double pivot. And at times, if we need to, just pull a bull Bev Priestman and play two sixes when you don't need to. But like, there is, like, for me right now, there's like very few players in the pipeline. And you know, if you name two, like, how many forwards can we name on the US Women's National Team? How many outside backs? How many center backs? How many attacking mids? Like, we can name, you know, 6, 7, 8 players who can play that position, who can play as a true six. Three.
Okay. Because we killing the six. We killing the six horse.
We are.
Audrey, what's your comment?
We are, and to be honest, I think the eight is the bigger problem.
Yeah, that is, yes.
I think we have players who can play the six in an actual like technical possession style system. We just don't have an eight that acts like an eight. And so I think that's the problem, I think, more so because the type of six that the U.S. is used to having is just that wrecking ball six, like Julie Ertz was. Well, we don't really have that because they were really one of those. And the one that exists right now is Lena Oberdorf over in Germany. Right. And actually, that ain't exactly working great for them either, right?
Right.
Like, the way midfields are a bit more sophisticated. So you have to, like, yeah, she can still break play up, but you still need to be able to have those complementary pieces in midfield. So for me, we have a lot of attacking mids. We have different styles of players that can play as a six. You know, Sam Coffey is very good at swinging the ball, keeping the ball moving, kind of like your metronome type of six. She's also very physical as well. So she's good. I think she needs to be a bit better in anticipating danger because I think that's the risk with playing her there. But you also have Jalen Howe, again, who just tear midfields up. She can kind of do that role, but isn't the most creative passer. So I think you are kind of looking at different profiles of players for that role. But for me, it's just like we need that box-to-box player who's playing because Emma Hayes will play Sophie Engel, who is not mobile, doesn't really do a, like, she's great with her positioning, but it's not like she's an athlete, right? Especially right now with her age. But it works because she has Aaron Cuthbert there, she has Shoka Nuskin there, and those players are doing more of the ground covering. And that's what an eight is supposed to do in terms of covering ground in between attack and defense and helping out with the six to break up play. And so for me, it's about finding that player and making them play like that.
So for who is available, either in camp and out of camp, who would be some good eights to do what you're talking about?
Yeah, I mean, Courtney touched on it. Crystal Dunn could play that role. I think Crystal Dunn would be great at that. We know how good she is at attacking. We know she can defend because they had her damn left back for years. So we know she has a defensive capability to do that. I also think Lindsay Horan can do it. She does it for Lyon. That's been the frustrating thing for me is that she does it for Lyon. The thing with the U.S., right, is that for as difficult as it was to replace Julie Ertz, the more difficult player to replace was Sam Lewis.
Absolutely.
Anybody got that? Yeah. That's a 6-foot just tank running around with great technique, great passing vision.
It's LeBron on it's LeBron on the breakaway. Like you just get out the way. It's a business decision, right?
Yes. She is. Yeah. She's very hard to replace. And I think that not that you need to find another Sam Lewis, because unfortunately I don't know if she'll come back from war. Things didn't sound great. But I honestly, cartilage donor. Doesn't sound great.
Twice.
So, like, yeah, that scares me. But I do think you need a player that fills that role. And it's a very important role in a midfield, especially if you want to get away from the double pivot.
I have a player.
Let's do it.
I mean, I think besides the fact that we love her for her celebrations, Lola Bonta. She's been playing.
Hello.
She always plays as Nate. And, funny, I mean, if I think, like, her. Truly the – like. Not our like not a Chelsea's Aaron Cuthbert, but like I'm saying, sometimes they have more similarities than differences. I'm actually not worried about the eight, but only because we have a bunch of them. It's just like two questions: did Blanco actually know what an eight does?
No.
We can ask that question of Emma Hayes, and she'll probably give us a 10-page novel. I feel like. That is actually the position. I think there's a bunch of midfielders who can, like, as we say, like, midfielders midfielding. Like, I actually do think there's a lot of possibilities for eights, even just looking purely at the NWSL. But, yeah, like, I mean, we've, like, Lola Bontas had great seasons, but I don't know. I feel like maybe even coming out of college, like there are more players who are playing as probably playing as like your true center midfielders that have been moved around to other positions than like missing that position. And it's because we had also, you know, put Lindsay Horan at the six and tried to make her a six and then put Crystal Dunn outside back. But also, you, I mean, you technically have like a, talk about a midfielder who's technically in the mix, who has fight to them and can play like has can play as an eight on the left. You, like Christy Mewis is right there. But like I'm not actually worried about the eights. It's just like, will we play players who can play at the eight at the eight? And that's not a, that's not an actual question for Emma. It's just like in the last 4 years, I don't necessarily think we've, or how, I don't know how long Ivanka's been longer around. It's felt like 17 years, but I don't actually know the actual date. But like, I do think there are eights in and around the pool. We just have to play them that way.
Mm. Moral of the story is Emma will come in here and put players in the correct positioning of 6, 8, 10. New numbers, 9.5s, whatever the hell. Put them in the thing. I was going to say 10s, but we got 50 billion of them. Are there any midfielders?
Emma will also convert a 10. The history of Chelsea players who at one point in their careers played as a 10 and are now playing somewhere else. Emma loves just someone who played as a 10 at one point in their careers.
Well, get ready. Well, get ready, somebody. You're going to be playing a new position. All right, forwards. We got 50 billion of them.
Could be Rose as an 8.
Shit. Hey.
Well, I mean, I will say Rose has been forced to being an eight because of Rocco. She had to get it on the, you know, get on both sides of the ball, distribute like all that stuff. Like she had to do it by force because Rocco decided to be deeply unserious. And actually, I mean, I think it made her an even more well-rounded player. Like what I
honestly think DeMelo is probably a better 8 than she is a 10.
Yeah, that's
a good show. I think there are a bunch of eights, honestly, in the pool. It's just like, will we put, like, have we previously seen them there and actually perform that way?
No. Yeah. And the one we lost is so damn good that I think it's been really hard. Like, there is but one Sam Lewis. Yeah. Like, they don't make players like that. But we broke her.
But I also will say, we have not
a 6-foot midfielder.
But I will say that we'll be refreshing in the Emma era if she pays attention to all these players across the board. We're going to see players that we thought were not replaceable get replaced with a different style of player, but does the role it's supposed to fucking do because she has tactics and understands what a midfield is supposed to do. Like, we got a coach who understands what she wants her players to do in the system and will make that shit shake and move. Mm-hmm. Even if we didn't even see the vision for what she had, she makes it happen. And she's got a whole pool to do it. All right, forward line.
I mean, this is the
sauce.
She's gonna have to make hard choices. We're a country full of forwards right now. It's the deepest line we have, right?
I think we've always been a country full of forwards. Secretly,
yeah. I mean, it's definitely our, and it's the star position, right? Like they're the people on the posters. Yada yada yada. You score goals. You throw footballs. You do all the stuff. You get the coverage. That's just the way the world works. Fair or not. I don't know. She's spoiled for choice. It really and truly depends on what type of style she wants to play. I think you definitely want different profiles. I think she will definitely have people she starts and people she subs on. That tends to be what Emma does. She'll rotate that lineup, but I think she'll have a pretty solid idea of who her starting forwards will be by the time we get to the Olympics. And then you'll have that in-between time after the Olympics and before the World Cup where I think she'll do some experimenting. But I think her core, like 6 or 7, will probably be her core 6 or 7. Unless they fall off, and then she will absolutely rotate other people in. But she'll never... The one problem she won't have in the U.S. is running out of forwards. Like, she'll always have a very deep talent pool to pull from. I think these young players have a really different and dynamic talent. I don't think she's ever coached anyone as fast as Thompson. That'll be super interesting because I'm not. 100% sure she quite knows what to do with that yet. She'll figure it out. Like, but I think she's good. Like I said, I think Trinity will be her greatest frustration and probably her greatest accomplishment when all is said and done. I think Sophia will also be very interesting because I think she'll have to decide whether she wants to play her out wide or not. Like, I think that'll be a very interesting thought process for her. Because I think we've tried very hard to make Sophia the nine, but I think that's also because we've lacked the kind of nine we're looking for, and we have Fischl now. We don't necessarily have to do that with Sophia Smith. But I also think she likes a traditional nine. She plays a Sam Kerr. She very much likes having a nine. Yeah, I don't know. It's such a deep talent pool. You definitely still want your frontline players to be able to defend, but I don't think we'll have to defend from the front as much, which opens up some possibilities as well. Our frontline won't be as exhausted. So yeah, I'm excited. I think this is where I think the experimentation comes in. I'm really interested to see what three or four players in that attack she puts together at any given time. I think she probably saw Sean, Fischl, and Thompson in that last half and probably has some ideas, and even Rodman. But yeah, I don't know. Y'all take it away, because I don't know what she's going to do. It's a lot of lot of choices.
Yeah, I don't know what she's going to do either, but I do think that, you know, if we're looking for the more traditional line, link up play, all of that, Mia Fischl, and obviously you know that Emma Hayes understands what Mia Fischl brings because she recruited her from Mexico when the U.S. wouldn't even look at her when she went to Mexico. Rugla, I don't know if she actually went, but she recruited her from Mexico to the U.S. basically to learn under Sam Kerr and to back up Sam Kerr, but we're also seeing that she has a definite defined role to play within this Chelsea team as well. And she's been doing well when she has the opportunities to get on the pitch, which is, you know, when Sam Kerr is ahead of you, it's not going to be every game. But I think that's what Emma wants. Again, Emma's very good at having players, working with them. And then when it's time for them, they are ready to go. Like, they're hungry. They're ready to eat. And I think Mia's going to be the exact same way. And so it will be interesting to see if anybody's able to kind of push Mia back. And I've been wanting us to do Sophia Smith as the nine, and not in a way that's forced. I mean, the only times we actually did it was when Alex Morgan was injured and didn't go with the team for that England and Spain trip. But I really want to see her as a nine. She's not the traditional nine because, as we know, she likes to get on the ball. She dribbles at people. She's very dangerous in that way. And I just like her being able to do it from a central position. And it's really hard to get a player to do that if they're not playing the 10. They kind of have to play the 9 then to get the ball in those areas where she can be the most dangerous. But that's also not exactly the way that Emma usually plays. But she's adaptable. There's a chance it works, especially with the other forwards that they get. I like to see a bit of fluidity. That does happen with Chelsea quite a bit. Sometimes you'll see Lauren James central. You'll see Fran Kirby out wide. Sometimes you'll see Guro tuck in a little bit. Like, you'll see a move. Sometimes you'll see Sam Kerr out wide. And she's, you know, hitting across to somebody. Or she's doing, she's doing going 1v1. Like, you'll see different things happen with the front forward line. And that's kind of my thing about this forward line is, whereas we have like question marks and things to figure out in midfield and things to figure out in like central defense in terms of who plays next to Naomi, what kind of ball carriers do we have? Are we doing passing? Are we hitting the ball long? All those things. But the forward, you can do pretty much whatever the hell you want, because you got basically any type of forward you could ever want is sitting in the pool somewhere. And they're really, if you like Midge, crazy 1v1. Trinity, great defensive work, can attack as well. Sophia Smith, just outrageous with the ball at her feet. Outrageous balance and strength. Lynn Williams presses like hell, but also creates the chances, assist chances as well. Alyssa Thompson, like you said, I don't know what the hell she's going to do with Alyssa Thompson. She's fast as shit and very, very good. I kind of think she might be like the Conorid, where she's just super direct. Mm-hmm. Like, your job is to get the ball at the feet and go directly at the feet of the defender closest to you. That's kind of what Conorid's doing, and I think that's what Alyssa Thompson will do. So, like, yeah, I think it's just a matter of finding out which combinations fit which game plan and going with it. But I almost feel like you can't really go wrong with this, because the forward line is just like, honestly, it just makes me smile.
We haven't even mentioned the players who are still coming back. amount.
Yeah, I mean, Mallory Swanson's coming. Katarina McCarty's coming. Like,
hope Press comes back. Yeah. If Tobin wants to play soccer again. I feel like Emma would just really like
everybody have fun. Like, I think that I'm like, oh, the forward line's why she took the job. Forward line's why she took the job.
Nobody can defend. Give me three of these players.
Exactly.
And you tell me what defense can handle all three. That's what I'm saying.
And I mean, but also the movement, like, especially once we talk about this new generation of forwards, like, their off the ball movement is just going to.
Insane.
But I mean, it's just going to pull defenses apart. And that's when you're going to have Sam Coffey playing as a six, scoring hat tricks in game because they're just like thinking about everyone else on the front line. And then Sam Coffey just pops up in the middle, like, I can shoot too.
Yeah. You're going to have people retiring at halftime. 20 minutes in. They're going to be like, well, that's the end of my international career. Y'all go deal with that shit. I'm not doing that. Take me out, coach.
It is our greatest strength, right? Like, I think our coaching style already lends itself to our strengths, but I still think the U.S. has advantages. Do I think other teams have better conditioning, better athletes, better everything? Yes. I still think we have better, and I think we have room to grow in that. And two, we're still fucking faster than everybody. Like,
and we have more. That's the problem.
Thompson's the fastest, but we got a lot of those. Like, there's a very specific way we can. Right. Oh, that's the other thing with Emma. Guys, we're going to press again. Get excited.
We sure the hell are.
Because we stopped pressing. Yes. And I don't understand how you have a team full of young players and you just decide we're not going to press. I don't get that at all. What is the point of 18-year-old legs?
They have legs, Lieutenant Dan.
Or the crazy shit that would happen is we be in a game pressing and it's working and doing what you need to do and just stop.
You ain't got to worry about that with Emma Hayes. Ever.
Nope. Nope.
Always be pressing, always be recruiting.
Yeah. All right. So I guess for the China game.
Oh, yeah.
Who's our starting lineup?
Jesus.
Oh, damn.
Why y'all give me them looks?
I didn't think that.
I was like, we didn't think that far in advance.
Who's in goal?
Murphy.
I'm going to say Murphy. Casey.
Who's on the back line? Is Sister Emma, my bad, is Twyla trotting out a three or four back?
Four
back.
Yeah.
Who's back there then?
Naomi.
Abby?
I think Abby does game two. Alana, Naomi.
I would think Alana might go game two because of the time in her legs championship.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Well, also, one thing we didn't know about is like, in terms of players that can hit that big switch, that's Abby Dahlkemper. And that's important from the center back role. So I think it might be Abby as well in the first
game. And they play together for club, right? So I can see that.
Yeah.
Okay, so then what? So fullbacks.
Maybe we'll play Emily Fox on the left.
Maybe. Yeah, Fox and Kruger, even though I want to see I would love Vignola and Kruger.
Well, I think Vignola will play, but I don't.
Yeah.
Maybe game two.
All right,
she's
going
to like her, though. Roosevelt.
Coffee.
Lindsay Horan.
Yeah.
Horan and Coffee? I think it's Sonnet. Ooh.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be Sonnet. I wish it was
Sonnet,
Coffee,
Horan, and Lavelle. I think.
I forget about Emily Sonnet.
Damn near the same midfield we started out in 2019.
Yeah.
Hilarious. Oh, God.
I'd like to see something different, but I don't think we're going to see that just yet.
Not
Is Emma
going
to play a box midfield? I know that's never a thing, but I was like, I would also, can't lie, would I put it past her?
She's going to hit that diamond.
I think she would do it. Ooh, a diamond. Or I was just thinking a regular box. I was just thinking a regular box.
Forwards.
6'8", 2'10".
What Negroes are going?
Fischl. That's interesting. Yep. I think Fischl's your nine.
Yeah.
They have Shaw listed as a forward. I'm very intrigued by this.
Yeah.
Actually, I think we might see Lynn has a lot of bot in her legs.
She played a lot. I don't think she'll start.
And so did Midge.
It could be Trinity, Robin and Sophia.
Trinity, Sophia, Mia?
I think so.
That is something I would like to see.
That's an interesting one.
Who's on the right? Wait, pause.
Sophia.
Who can play on the right side?
Sophia.
Sophia.
Okay.
Yeah, Rodman on the left, especially because what I keep wanting Robin to do is be selfish, and she needs to cut in on her right foot, and she needs to be on the left to do that.
Yeah. Does she? But she doesn't normally play on the left.
No, she has. Not, she does now.
Wait. Yeah. So where does Jaden plays on right or left?
I think Jaden will start the second game.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Jaden also likes to float behind in the center of the park.
Central.
I don't know why they'll just like make. I know we have a lot of tens, but make to me, Jaden Shaw.
She's a ten. Yeah.
Yeah, she is.
Don't tell San Diego though. But yeah, she's a 10.
They kind of play her
I was like, they play her there as a 10 right now.
Kind of like a false 9 sometimes, but yeah, she basically is a 10.
They just drop her back behind so she can either make the second run or get the pass off, because there's not really anybody else getting that pass off, because that's not what they asked Calaprica to do.
All right.
Yeah, that's what I got. Like, I got no clue, but sure, it's a guess.
All right, so, okay. Ain't nobody final thoughts. We'll see what happens. On to, hold on. Where are we at? Wait. Shit. Just kidding.
Time is ticking up.
Don't do that. Y'all was up here giving essays about sixes. We are now at our hits and writs.
Okay.
But is that also not what we've been talking about literally for the last like 2 years?
Y'all took another 50 minutes. Well, between last episode and this episode, I'm talking about sixes. Anyway, hits and roots.
I can talk about six all day, every day.
What is your theme song to celebrate Emma? Or welcome her to America? Oh, God. Welcome, like that, Sister Emma.
Like that graphic they made? It's terrible.
Yeah.
BBC Sport, what were you doing?
What the fuck?
Yeah, anyway. And also getting in a cab. I was
that
like,
was so bad.
Bro. Also, the version where they Photoshop Midge on a bunch of them, but then also put like a random hot dog emojis in it.
What? Okay, so what's your songs?
Who's going first?
Tall Dre.
Well, I gotta go first. Mine was gonna be a joke. I was gonna start off
in a silly, goofy mood.
I was gonna welcome Emma with a song that she hears very often. At Chelsea, after win,
blue is the color.
Mm-mm, no, country
roads.
Country
roads.
No.
Honestly, Sweet Caroline.
Yeah, we're not doing that. That's canceled. But country roads, because it's the most random, and nobody from Europe can give me an answer about why the hell they go so hard for that song, but they do every single time Chelsea wins a trophy. The locker room explodes into a rendition of Country Roads. It's the most ridiculous and hilarious thing, but you know what? It might make Emma feel right at home.
Well, shit, if the headquarters are moving to Atlanta, she's going to see a lot of Country Roads of the Atlanta situation, including Ice, Black Ice. Don't drive on it.
Yeah, it's dangerous.
Next!
Okay, well... I said this jokingly, but now I can't get it out of my head where I would probably play Proud Mary.
Wow.
Proud Mary? I don't know why, but it's because I just stuck it in my head, and then I was like, oh, I can't think of another song, even no matter how much scrolled up and down my Spotify list. I was like, I think she would like Proud Mary. Or she would honestly come through and like play like The Best or something. Also Tina Turner. But that's the one I'm going to take. Proud Mary.
Sills?
Unfortunately, Mr. Canceled himself. Champion Kanye is what I had.
Oh, no.
I know.
Can't lie, it's a really good shout, though.
It is. Listen to it in your mind. You don't have to play it off the spot.
Problematic fuckers.
I hate that too. He's one of my favorites. It hurt, but you gotta do what you gotta do.
I'm like, what Destiny's Child song would Emma Hayes like?
Is she a Destiny's Child? Is she an Adele person like Laura Harvey?
I honestly don't know.
I don't know. This is something we have to ask her when she gets here.
If they call on us.
Honestly, I play her some like Megan Thee Stallion.
I feel like she'd like Megan Thee Stallion.
Yeah, she need like a twerk team situation. Because she going to be in Atlanta probably. So they moving to headquarters. Get it right for Magic City.
People Emma Hayes needs to meet upon.
She needs some Magic City, some wings. Because we're going to take the World Cup trophy to the Magic City.
Why are you taking her
to Magic How do we City? Think Emma Hayes would respond to a song like Thought Shit?
She didn't get ready because she going to be in Atlanta. The hell?
How do you she going to get used to it? To a song like that?
That's what well, she going to get used know. To it. It's going to get...
Well, or honestly, Savage. I play
that. Oh, I think she'd like Savage, actually.
I'm changing from Proud Mary to Savage.
I think she'd like Savage. Play for her. I think she'd like Meg Thee Stallion.
I think she'd like it too.
I Set It Off by Boosie. He is canceled. Okay. But however, we do that thing. You need some Nuck If You Buck. Get you ready. We out here.
She really is going to be in Atlanta. That's very wild to me.
Get ready.
What a cultural. We're going to
be in Magic City. She's going to get her some wings. She gonna get some bangs.
Which
she gonna
restaurant? See some bangs. You gotta give her the restaurants that Keith Lee said was okay.
The hell? Well, first of all, pause flag. If you didn't know, a lot of the restaurants that were bougie and bootleg, they are on the gentrified Atlanta tour. That is not what you experience if you know where to go. Because you don't go through none of that. Like, I don't even know. Like, half the restaurants, why would you go there? They got the little fake grass on the walls and lights. Like, nah. You don't gotta do that.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah, those are bad in every city. Anytime you see fake grass on a wall in a restaurant.
She got to get ready to go to strip club to get the good wings. She going to see some things.
To go to a strip club? Like, why
I mean, that's... Okay, understand, in the deep south, to keep the stripper clothes on, they serve food, so they have good food. Actually, it's a part of a lot of stuff with your music culture. You didn't know strip clubs did a lot for the economy. There we go. But anywho, moving on. Do y'all got any rants that you need to get out of your system? Keep it short. Keep it sweet.
No, I'd get fined.
Okay. Don't do that. I mean, listen, I don't know if it's a rant, because at this point it happens all the time. It's a lot better in club teams and the NWSL teams and press conferences. I don't think you should have to be bullied into calling on black journalists. Who are just trying to do their job. Like, I don't think you should have to be bullied into that. Yeah, I don't know. I probably have more of a rant, but I'm just gonna... I want us to have the show, so I'm just gonna shut up.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't really talk about the NWSL like much or specifically. So my real kind of rant, which I might have to talk about in another episode, it's just, I've got a lot of distrust. I don't like the schism that's kind of happening with a lot of clubs in their front office and their communities. And it's becoming a bit of a problem as the league grows and as clubs grow and they get a lot of promotion for being, you know, the investment and, you know, the TV contract and the social, all those things are good. But this is where the disconnect of like American soccer and what soccer is everywhere else kind of happens. Is that it's a community. That's where you get the passion. That's where you get the thing that doesn't exist really anywhere else. It's not even like NFL fandom. It's different. It's a much more positive environment. It's a much more interesting environment. It's a much more connected environment, especially in women's soccer. And I think a lot of teams are missing that. And it's from some shitty things that are happening in front offices, people making weird decisions, lack of communications. And I think it's happening across multiple clubs. And I would like that to stop. I may break it down. I may talk about it a lot more later, but that's just been something that's kind of been on my mind, because all this stuff is great, but you're still a club and you still need a community. And that's still the people who go to your games and support your players. Those are also your shareholders. It ain't just the people in the boardroom. So, and honestly, you should elevate those people above the boardroom people anyway. But obviously, I'm also aware that we live in America, so.
That's a good reminder, because for a rant point of view, you have to remember, due to the pay for play shit in the United States, a lot of communities are disengaged. So yeah. The people who are riding for you right now are going for you need them to ride for you forever, and add to those people to be able to pack out stadiums. So whether you're in a big market, small market, community, super important. I don't know why you thought you can win a championship and not celebrate with your fans in market when you won on the other side of the country. Or you think that because your stadium is packed and you allowed various things you might not align with as a founder, you then act a fool because they bring their flag in the stadium and you don't agree. And then you don't think your stadium's going to be empty next year. It very well could happen. Or you increase prices by 3 times and expect people to come see a superstar, but who you thought is driving all the way to Fort Lauderdale for you. But whatever. Y'all have to remember community is important or you're going to get played and you will learn the hard way. Because, baby, they don't got to come support you. And you can be broke 99 and out a stadium and just burning money. But anywho.
Also, with that, when you're hiring folks in your front office, make sure they understand the culture.
Correct.
You can get folks who work all in sports and do all the great things, but guess what? If you don't get the culture, that's when foolishness happens.
Oh, yeah, that too. So, like, y'all, because y'all are hiring a bunch of people from hockey, NFL, MLS, my bad, MLS, my bad, Major League Soccer, whatever, that shit over there.
NFL?
Minnesota.
Yeah, that's great.
You hired it from the men's side, the MLS, you're hiring people from the NBA, WNBA, but it's not WOSO soccer and y'all are doing foolishness. Like, it's like we get into women's sports, women's soccer, and we do stupid shit that makes no sense. But yeah, please, please, please. But anyway, what do we got? Some raves? No? I have people celebrate?
I should.
What are you thankful for? Shit. What are you thankful for in this holiday season?
Okay, oh my god.
A black given.
I mean, I'm hyped about the College Cup. I think it's been good. And I want more people. I mean, the NCAA is never going to give it the shine it deserves. But I want more people to watch the College Cup because it's extremely fun. So that's the women's like NCAA soccer tournament at the end of their season. And right now, I believe we're going into, what is it, the round of eight?
Elite Eight.
Yeah, the Elite Eight coming up. And there's been some really good games so far. Yeah. So like, and they've been wild like that. What was it? The Memphis Memphis Pitt? Yeah, that game was bonkers. But there's been a lot of those.
The Penn State St. Louis game is really good too.
Yeah,
that went to extra time. Good. Yeah,
Florida State wrecked the hell out of Texas. That was unfortunate, but like, it's been really fun. And also, you get to see some of the younger talent that might just end up in the NWSL. And to be honest, when we were talking about eights earlier, there's a few. I think Florida State has a couple that might do it in a few years. So like, there's a lot of talent that is still to come to the league or wherever. And it's kind of cool to watch them ball out in a soccer type of tournament for the College Cup. So yeah, watch that. That's on ESPN Plus. So if you get ESPN Plus, you're good. If not, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's a good shout, I guess, for me. Also, just keeping in theme with women's sports, particularly in college, like, it's early, but this year in women's college basketball has already been ridiculous. Yes. This freshman class is silly. They're so good. There's already been major upsets, like people reintroducing themselves. Like Cameron Brink was like, I think y'all forgot who the fuck I was. just like, let y'all know. Listen, that's my white girl. And like, this is supposed to be a rebuilding year for South Carolina, and it really don't look like that.
Sure doesn't.
I feel like Dawn lied to me, and that's fine. I'll let her lie to me. It's Dawn Staley. She can lie to me. It's fine. It's been really, it's just been really good. And obviously, we know this draft class is going to be incredibly loaded, but also just that freshman class has been so good with the transfer portal being what it is now. Teams get good instantly. Like, oh, girl, Sedona's at TCU balling, like, left Oregon, didn't even realize she left. Like, it's been really interesting. So it's been a really good season. It's going to be a long season, and it's worth watching. Also on the ESPN family of network, so you should be able to catch a lot of basketball games. Yeah.
All right. Any more raves? No. Yes. Okay. So yeah, I'm thankful you're free all. So happy holidays and all that shit. What is this? So thank
I'm
you to everybody.
I'm excited. I'm about to get knee surgery. So I can walk properly again.
Good. That's good.
I'm hopefully gonna get have a third interview after the break. So here's hoping I get this job. Not having
believe and you
job.
Shall achieve.
So yeah, hoping.
I mean, healthy this break. So ho ho ho, cheerio. But anyways, thank you to everybody, Two Sits Fam, all y'all. all y'all people, Street Team, and to our patrons and sponsors, Gal Pal Sports, Carolyn Nettles, and to the tall ones. Thank you all, Tall Dre 3000. Thank you all, Statue of Liberty.
I'm still mad.
For coming through. Why are you mad?
I mean, because this ain't going to go away.
No, it's just going to begin.
Tall Dre 3000 was an all-time banger nickname. It's almost as good as Deacon Skyscraper.
Yeah. I'm going to make a theme song for you. I'm excited. Are you excited?
Yeah, no, actually, I'm not.
Hey, bring in the rest of the group chat. I think they're excited.
Yeah, we're going to make a theme song for you. No worries. We got you. But yeah, happy holidays, all that. Listen to the first episode of the Love for Emma sermon. And then, yeah, thank y'all for listening. So what are we going to do?
Stay hydrated.
And we're going to stay melanated.
And we're going to make sure that the Black women in your life are always celebrated.
And we're going to make sure our shea butter bombs are always elevated. Happy holidays. Happy New Year. Just kidding. We're going to be back. But yeah, peace and blessings. Pause. Don't put raisins in your macaroni, in your sweet potatoes, in your dressings. Don't be experimenting. Know the difference between a cobbler and a pie. Shout out to who they know who they are. Also, don't try to pass off.
We'll discuss this off air.
Don't pass off pumpkin pie as sweet potato pie, or you may not see. You may not see Black Friday. You may not see the Friday.
That's a war crime.
You might get thrown out the house like Fresh Prince. So, I'm saving y'all. Don't do nothing crazy. Don't put and then have macaroni and cheese or have mashed potatoes. That's for Riz. But anyway, peace out. Stay black. Stay whatever you are. Stay vanilla. Do what you do. Bye. Everybody say bye.
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 Bye. She
got the time. Run this circle around you, there's some shit that I'm tired of. She left me in pieces trying to catch a wave. We ain't in North Carolina.